Thank you, brethren, for that special music. That was beautiful, the way you sang there. Gorgeous. Yeah, if we just all had songbooks, there would have been no problem, would there? Well, brethren, as you all know, one of our beloved members, Margaret Chagnon, died. Well, Leanne and I were in Australia. We were sad about that. We were able to check email and we got the message. Checking on Reg Wright's computer, we tried to stay in contact with what was going on. But we were disappointed that we were so far away because we loved Marge very much and wished that we could have been there with her and the family. Marge Chagnon was our longest baptized member apart from Harold. I think Harold was baptized before she was, a year or so, back in the late 1950s. But Marge was baptized, a baptized member, for over 50 years as a committed Christian woman. Now you think about that she made that commitment, that promise to God of giving her life to God, submitting to God, doing her best to serve God, doing her best to owe to God for the rest of her life, over 50 years ago. Nobody's perfect, we know that. But I'll tell you, Marge Chagnon and my wife and I first met her and when we first came to Seattle in 1980. An unusual woman, as we all know, incredible woman. I will say, and probably many of you will remember this too, that the thing that I always remember about her, and there are so many things, but this one especially, and you probably all will agree, that no matter how Marge Chagnon was feeling, she always had this big smile on her face. She always came to church smiling and warm and friendly. And she was here even when she didn't feel well and was sick. And I would chat with her and talk with her. And she would say, being at church and with the brethren is one of the most important things in my life. It is the highlight of my week, being with God's people, my brethren. It strengthens me and it encourages me and it motivates me. I realize I'm not alone as a Christian in his church. So Marge Chagnon is truly a remarkable woman in her faith. She was a quiet woman. A lot of you may not have known her well, but I know many of you did. Many of you knew her very well. And those of you who didn't know her, you'll have a chance to meet her in the future. But she was an incredible lady. She was a shining light. She was an inspiration and an incredible example to God for the rest of her life over 50 years ago. Nobody's perfect, we know that. But I'll tell you, Marge Chagnon and my wife and I first met her and when we first came to Seattle in 1980. An unusual woman, as we all know, incredible woman. I will say, and probably many of you will remember this too, that the thing that I always remember about her, and there are so many things, but this one especially, and you probably all will agree, that no matter how Marge Chagnon was feeling, she always had this big smile on her face. She always came to church smiling and warm and friendly. And she was here even when she didn't feel well and was sick. And I would chat with her and talk with her. And she would say, being at church and with the brethren is one of the most important things in my life. It is the highlight of my week, being with God's people, my brethren. It strengthens me and it encourages me and it motivates me. I realize I'm not alone as a Christian in his church. So Marge Chagnon is truly a remarkable woman in her faith. She was a quiet woman. A lot of you may not have known her well, but I know many of you did. Many of you knew her very well. And those of you who didn't know her, you'll have a chance to meet her in the future. But she was an incredible lady. She was a shining light. She was an inspiration and an incredible example of faith and endurance through her trials to the very end of her life. And she died, as you know, She had battled cancer for over 20 years and had been through much suffering and pain as a result of that, but always trusting in God, knowing that the years that she had in this life were in God's hands, not in hers. And so I would like today to remind us all, as I refer to Marge from time to time in this message, let's look at God's word. Let's take this opportunity when another one of our sisters in this case, our brethren, has made it, has accomplished the goal that we all want of someday being there in the kingdom of God. She's waiting, as we'll see. We'll go through the scriptures that remind us that Marge is asleep right now, waiting until her Savior and Lord Jesus Christ returns to this earth when that resurrection takes place. And so let's look at God's word and her future, God's promise to Marge, and of course to all of us who follow her example, who become like Marge in our faith and in our humility, in our love and in our service to others. There is an incredible, awesome, wonderful future that lies ahead. And we're going to take a look at that today as a reminder of what Marge believed. It's always good when one among us passes and they've been with us so long, it's always a wonderful opportunity to celebrate. Yay, Marge made it. She did it. Let's begin in the book of James, the brother of Jesus, and see what he said as we look at the promise to Marge and what lies ahead for her. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And I want to keep my message today a little shorter than a normal sermon I might give, so that we have adequate time after the service, after the closing prayer, for personal comments and sharing. And then so there's time for fellowship as well after that. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, well-known scriptures to all of us, but think about them today. Where James is writing here to the brethren, he's saying, "My brethren, count it all joy." NIV says, "Count it pure joy when you fall into various trials," when you have various trials in your life. You know, there's an incredible perspective here, an incredible spiritual understanding to be able to say this, to write this, or to believe this. Count it a blessing, a joy, when you have trials in your life. And James answers why, one of the reasons why in verse 3. Knowing, you know, because we know that the testing of our faith produces patience. Or, translated as well, it could be endurance or perseverance. One translation, the New Living Translation, translates it character. It is through our trials and our tests and our perseverance through them that we develop godly character. And Marge certainly developed godly character through her endurance. But let patience or perseverance have its perfect work, that you may be, in the more accurate or better translation here from the Greek, as it gives it in, even in the margin of my Bible, that we're never going to be perfect in this life, in the flesh. We know that. But a better translation would be that we may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. You know, God promises us through Paul in Philippians chapter 1 that he will complete the work that he begins in us spiritually. He will complete it. Marge became a very mature Christian. She understood suffering and trials and perseverance and endurance. You know, she got discouraged many times in her life. Battled discouragement like we all do as human beings. Not always understanding every trial and problem that she was going through, or maybe why this sickness, this cancer, went on so long in her life. She didn't have all the specific answers, and yet she knew God was in charge and in control of her life. Drop down to verse 12 of chapter 1 of James, where he writes, "Blessed is the man," and as we all know, as brethren, the Greek here doesn't mean just males. It means people. And blessed is the person would be a way we might put it today. Blessed is the person, male or female, who endures trials or temptation. For when he or she has been proved, she will receive the crown of life. That's talking about eternal life, as we're going to see. Eternal life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. I don't think there's any doubt in anyone's mind here that Marge Chagno loved God, her Father, and Jesus Christ, her Lord and Savior, with all of her heart. I certainly don't have even one inkling of a doubt about Marge. She's one of those members of the church, and here I am, the pastor, but who am I but another human being, another Christian, striving for God's kingdom? And Marge was an inspiration to me, as others of you are. But Marge, I'll never forget her. I could go down the line. I think John has spoken about many of our seniors and remembering them and not forgetting them. And I don't. I remember many of them, and they've been examples, incredible examples to me of faith and encouragement and inspiration. And Marge was one of those, Marge Chagno. Let's go to the book of 1 John chapter 2. Just move forward to the epistles of John just before Revelation. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. And we're going to see what he wrote. As we all know, John was very close to Jesus Christ. He was one of those that Jesus Christ had a special close relationship with and an affectionate relationship with. He became called the Apostle of Love. And Christ told the disciples that, he indicated to them that John would live a long old life. He didn't promise that to the others, and most of them didn't. They died as martyrs in most cases. But John died of old age, and he's up in his 90s. And he was in his 90s when he wrote these letters here and these words that we're going to read. Notice what John wrote as an elderly man, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. "Do not love the world or the things in the world." And what he's talking about here are the ways of the world. We know God loves the people of the world, don't we? John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that they could be saved. So when it comes to the human beings in the world, God loves them all. But here, John is talking about the sins of the world and the ways of the world that are wrong, contrary to God and his way of life. He says, don't love that or the things in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the world's ways that are wrong, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, and we certainly see it today, don't we? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father. And Mr. David Holliday, the sermon he gave at the Feast of Tabernacles up in the Sunshine Coast was on this very thing. The message he gave was, Satan is after your heart. And it was especially directed to the young people in the congregation and in the church today. And we all see as adults, don't we, very clearly, and I think a lot of our young people do too, that TV and music and so much of that is out there today and all of those areas is aimed at capturing the emotions and the feelings in the heart of young people and leading them into a lifestyle and a way of life that is destructive, actually, to them. And so the elderly man, John, is warning the brethren whom he loves, look out for the ways of the world. And then in verse 17, he says, the world is passing away. And you and I know that. Some people don't. They think this world's going to go on forever the way it is. But it's not. It's a dying world. It's a sick world. Sick and dying world. Our American society and way of life and the way of so many nations and peoples on earth today is so wrong, isn't it? So sick and harmful and destructive and evil. It's horrible and painful watching what is going on, but God is going to change it. But John is saying, look, this present world and its way is passing away, and the lust of it, that will pass too. But he who does the will of God lives forever, abides forever. That's the good news. That's the good news, that it's not going to go on forever. Marciano knew all of this, believed all of this. Let's look at chapter 3 of this same book, 1 John chapter 3, the first two verses. We're talking about what lies ahead for her, for Marge, and others like Marge, who are pioneers who paved the way, you might say, for the rest of us who are not there yet. You know, we're still striving for the kingdom of God. We hope and want and are determined to do the same thing, endure to the end. Never give up, never quit, no matter what our last trial in life may be, to never give up. So chapter 3, the first two verses, John writes, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. So few in the world really understand how God looks upon us as his children on this earth that he loves. Verse 2 is my main point here. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. Not in detail, as we're going to see. Not in absolute detail, but a lot has been revealed. Well, let's read on. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but, he adds, but we know that when he is revealed, when Christ is revealed, when he returns, and we see him, and the world is going to see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And we're going to take a look at that. At that time that is coming in the future, at the return of Christ, everybody on the face of the earth virtually, I'm not saying every single human being, but all nations have heard about Jesus Christ. That gospel has been preached to the world. They may not understand everything in the Bible, but even nations that don't believe in Christianity or Jesus Christ, they all know about Jesus Christ. Every religion on earth is aware of Jesus Christ and who we claim he is from the Word of God, from the Bible. And the most important prophecy in all the Bible is that he said that he was going to be returning to this earth, and that his people, his children on earth, have given their lives to him, who love him, who obey him, who serve him, are going to become like him. So let's take a look at what Marge is going to be like as we go along in this message. 2 Peter chapter 1. Just back up a little bit to Peter here in the next book prior. 2 Peter chapter 1. Notice verses 1 through 4. 2 Peter 1, verses 1 through 4. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice that, the righteousness of our God and Savior. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And his divine power, or as his divine power, has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. And then verse 4 is the verse I wanted to really emphasize, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, of God's nature. Now, what the Bible reveals, this incredible truth, that it's called heresy by many people of various faiths and religions. You and I believe in the Church of God that we're a part of, that when Christ comes back, we are going to not only see him like he is, we're going to be like him, as it says. We're going to be changed, and we're going to become exactly like Jesus Christ in his glorified form. We are his physical children now on earth. And when God gives us eternal life, when he changes us from flesh or from the dust of the ground, or if we're cremated, as Marge was, all that's just as your body becomes ashes more quickly, that's all. If you put in the grave the body, it decays and becomes the dust and ashes. If you're cremated, it quickly, very rapidly, a box of ashes is what you would have. The body turns back to the dust of the earth, to ashes. But the promise of God is eternal life, and we're going to become like him. As I said, and I'm one that you'll never hear standing up here condemning other churches or other faiths or other people's beliefs. That's between them and God, and if they're sincere, good on them. But I will disagree sometimes with people, and their understanding of the Bible is they may disagree with me, and that's fine. But what I believe, brethren, with my whole heart, is what I see in Scripture that God is telling us, and we will look at further Scriptures, that when we next see Marge Chagno, she's going to be a beautiful, beautiful, perfect, glorified spirit being. You talk about radiating a smile. And her next moment of consciousness, because right now she's asleep, she's resting. No more suffering, no more trials, no more pain. She's just resting. Her spirit is with God. Let's look at some of those scriptures. Let's look at it again and rejoice. You know, it's not, what we are sad about during times sometimes of memorials is that we are going to miss that loved one, especially the family, her own children, especially her daughters. And Patty was expressing that, these waves of emotion that come, you know, because, you know, you love your mother, and especially a mother like Marge Chagno, and the impact in your life. But let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Why do we believe what we believe? And what an incredible understanding we have that, yes, we die. And I never, and there's a right balance here, and what I'm thinking of and trying to express here to you is we're all going to die someday, some way. Unless Christ comes while we're still alive, and then he just changes us if we're still alive from flesh to spirit, and we enter his spiritual realm. It can happen that quickly. But if time goes on, brethren, and we get older and older, and we die, you know, there comes a time, like it says in Ecclesiastes, there's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. And that's true of life, isn't it? And we all need to be ready and preparing for that time, whatever it is, in God's plan for us. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 50. We'll read through verse 54. As we think now on this wonderful day of Marge and kind of dedicate this Sabbath to her, her life, her memory, we'll never forget her. Here's what Paul says. This I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nobody's going to make it in the flesh. It's not going to be we enter as human beings in bodily form. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. But I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die. And I've always been impressed with the fact that, you know, the King James Bible, when it talks about death, so many times uses the term sleep, that those who are dead are just sleeping. And that's what Paul is saying here. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, everybody knows about the seventh trump of the book of Revelation, Christ will return. At the blast of a trumpet, he will return. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, Paul says. For this corruptible, it's talking about the body, this physical flesh, must put on incorruption. We're going to become incorruptible, perfect. There will be no corruption in us at all. And this mortal body, this flesh, must put on immortality. We will be immortal. We will live forever. How much is that worth? You know, thought about it. How much is being with God, being like God, having a body like his that will live forever with power and glory, and not only as the Bible can begin to describe it, and looking into the universe that is out there beyond human comprehension even now, and God finally saying, now my children, let me explain to you what I've been doing all these years, what I've been creating for you, the endless reaches of vast adventures and excitement and joy and pleasure and creating and fellowship and life as God alone can experience it, going on forever, 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years, 1,000,000,000 years. And here we sit, brethren. You know, even if I'm in the church of God 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, God gives me, what a little bitty space of time that is to be able to be given eternal life, to be able to live life forever. I mean, we have such a short period of time in this physical life on earth. And yet, because of the love of God and by the grace of God, if we develop the right heart and the right attitude, God is going to give us eternal life with him and Christ. And then we'll know what the universe and what life is really all about. But he goes on in verse 54 of 1 Corinthians 15. He says, when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So death is an enemy right now. But it's going to be destroyed in the resurrection, isn't it? It'll be nothing. We have to die in order to make this, to achieve eternal life, to be given this. We have to be willing to die, able to accept death, if that be God's plan for us, when and where and how. He will see us through every trial. And again, Marge Chagnon's life certainly proves that to us, a living example. Notice in this chapter, verses 42 through 44, for some who might not believe that when we're changed, we actually become a spirit being, like God, like Jesus Christ, immortal, glorified, powerful, beautiful, perfect. Verse 42, so is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is physical, in other words, and sinful. It is raised in incorruption. Verse 43 says, it is sown in dishonor. Yeah, death is a weakness, isn't it? A funeral, people mourn, they're sad. But it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. The body dies and decays, but it is raised in power. Incredible what lies ahead for Marge Chagnon. Verse 44, it is sown a natural body, this flesh. It is sown, put in the grave. It dies a natural body, a physical body. But notice, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And you might say, well, what is spirit like? Well, spirit is permanent. Spirit is eternal. Spirit is the real stuff that everything else is made out of. This podium and this building and that my body is all made really out of invisible stuff called spirit, the spirit of God. God has created everything physical. And before there was anything physical, there was the spirit of God, the power of God. So what God is going to do, he's just going to change this present body and give us one that is like his. What an incredible thing to believe and know and understand. Notice verse 49 of this chapter, where Paul says, as we have borne the image of the man of dust, and we've been like Adam and we've been a human being, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. We're going to become like Jesus Christ. But we'll have our own individual personality. You know, when we see Marge again, guess what? You'll recognize her personality. It'll be Marge. She'll have that wonderful same attitude and sweet spirit that she had. You know, we develop the attitude in the right now. We develop the character right now. We develop our personality right now. We will all be different. We're not going to walk around like zombies and not know one another. We'll all be unique individual spirit beings. My wife will know me and I will know her and we'll know our children. We'll know one another, but we'll just be perfect and beautiful. And imagine the joy and the happiness when we're finally all there together. That's why it's so important, isn't it, to help anyone we can to catch this vision. It's an awesome vision. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I'm going to be closing about 2:30 today to give us plenty of time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I want us to be inspired and encouraged by the fact that another wonderful member of our congregation has set an awesome example for us of faithful endurance, of being an incredible church member. Despite all of us and our struggles and battles, she was here. If she could ever be here, she was here. She loved God, loved this congregation, loved you, brethren. She loved me, and I loved her. And she loved Leanne, my wife, and Leanne loved her, too. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. I think I'll wrap it up with this one. We know this scripture well. Here's Paul writing to a congregation of the brethren. And he says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have died, those who have fallen asleep. I don't want you to sorrow as others who have no hope. And we sorrow, but it's, my, we're sure going to miss her. We're going to miss Marge. We won't forget her. Can't forget someone like her and her beautiful love and smile and presence. We won't sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. How do you understand that verse? Here's the way I understand it, knowing what I know, putting all the scriptures together in the Bible. You know, not picking out a few here and there, but putting them all together. That when we are born, or let's say more precisely, when we are conceived in our mother's womb, a spirit enters into us and makes us a human being. As you know, it's not just the flesh that makes us a human being. What makes us human is this spirit of man, this human spirit that God has put in human beings that gives human intelligence, human creativity, human abilities that are similar to God's. That God has created us in his image. So when we receive life in the womb, this spirit from God enters that fetus and that womb, and it becomes a living human being. That's why, you know, we would believe as a church that killing babies and abortions and things like that is wrong. It's a sin. You're killing a human being. And that spirit that God puts in every human being who is ever born and who has ever lived, that spirit records everything about who we are all the days of our life, beginning from those days in the womb. It's been proven now. There's no question about it. Life begins in the womb, before the baby ever comes out. And that spirit that God has put into us, each of us, records who we are, our personality, our character development, our temperaments, our differences, our gifts, and just everything about us. You know, God has created a way to know who we are, what we are, everything about us. And isn't it wonderful? Just like with computers, you can erase, you know, when you've made a mistake. Good thing about the Bible, it tells us that, you know, we've all sinned and made a lot of mistakes in our lives. But the Bible tells us, you know, God, this great, awesome master, much more powerful than any computer man can ever come up with, the master computer of all and creator of all things and all the laws that man uses, God has created, that when you sincerely repent of the wrongdoing in your life and the sins you've made and continue to do that in your life, when God sees that person doesn't want to be doing that, they really don't want to sin. They're trying not to sin. They're battling it. They feel convicted and they hate sinning. You know, we all have battled sin in our lives, and we'll continue to as long as we're in the flesh. But thankfully, this loving God looks at the heart. He looks at the attitude. He knows we can never be perfect as long as we're in the flesh with Satan the devil in this world. He knows that. So he knows we're never going to be perfect human beings in this life, even as Christians. But this spirit that he's put within us that preserves our feelings and our emotions and our attitudes and our character, it's all recorded and all preserved. And as we repent and ask God for forgiveness and accept Christ's sacrifice and let his blood wipe that away, all that stuff is deleted. It's all wiped off. It's not there anymore. God says, I don't even remember your sins anymore. When you repent of them, I blot them out of existence. I don't remember them. It's gone. Wow, what a wonderful blessing. What a relief to know. But how is God going to be able to resurrect every human living human being who's ever lived, some in the first resurrection, the saints, and others later, who haven't had a chance to know the truth? Their time will come later in God's plan. Because this spirit, when we die, returns to God who gave it. That's scripture in Ecclesiastes 12:7, where it says, return to dust, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. So I can understand that, being an old former engineer, and I'm not as good as computers as many of you, but I can stop and think, you know, obviously God has a way. If I die, he's going to remember who I am, that everything that I was, he's got it recorded and preserved and saved. And so the Bible uses the term, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. You see that term used many places. Again, I know this is not a belief that many faiths and Christians and people have. We're not one who believe that when we die, we have this immortal soul, the real person who's still alive. The body dies, but the real person goes to heaven, and he's already there with God, alive in heaven. You know, we don't believe that. We don't see that in the scriptures. We believe that when we die, we're asleep until the resurrection from the dead. And when Christ returns, he will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus, their spirit, their personality, their character, their attitude, their wonderful qualities, everything they learned and developed and built in their calling in this life. You know, think about it. All the good that you do, all the character you're developing, all the love you have. God understands it all. The bad is wiped away. The good remains. And when God gives that new body, it's the same person in a new body, a real body, a spiritual body. And in verse 15, he goes on to say, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. And Paul thought he would be alive when he wrote this first of his epistles. This was the very first one he ever wrote early in his ministry. And later in his life, just before he was going to die, and you go back and read 2 Timothy, you'll find Paul knew that he was going to die, and he said, and there is a crown of life awaiting me and all of those who love the Lord. He came to understand before he died that Christ was not going to come in his lifetime while he was alive. But when he wrote this first of all of his 14 epistles, he did think that, and he wrote it, and it's preserved for us. Maybe it's so that whoever this applies to, whatever generation it will be that will be alive when Christ comes, imagine that. If it could be some of you, younger ones, middle-aged ones. Imagine if it were you. And here's what God's word says to you. This we say to you by the word of the Lord, that you who are alive and remain until Christ returns, the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who are dead. You won't precede them in the resurrection, in the change from flesh to spirit. You won't be first, he's saying. There's a little bit of extra knowledge and truth revealed here. For it says, for the Lord himself, verse 16, will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. That's what the Bible teaches. Christ comes back, all of those have died. One of those is Mar Chanyo. What if the rest of us happen to be alive when Christ came? She's gonna come up first and be changed first. That's what he's saying. And then, notice verse 17, then he adds, then we who are alive. And I keep telling people, hey, I'm only 72. I think I can make it into my 90s. I may see this happen. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we be with the Lord always. Wow. So if we're alive and Christ comes back and we're waiting and we're excited because we know the time is near, I mean, for us, if we're still alive, some of us have talked about it in the past, and I really don't, about 1 minute. I know you're long-winded pastors, I'm one of them, and this is hard for me, I'm going to make it shorter though. I've thought, what if I'm alive when Jesus comes back? I don't know, wherever the place of safety or protection is, it doesn't matter, he'll take care of it. That's not a big deal, I just got to make sure I'm ready, doing what I should do. Imagine being alive, and you hear that seventh trumpet blast, you're alive, and all of a sudden you see these flashes, these other people that have been changed, the dead in Christ rise first, and they're meeting the Lord in the air. I don't know how much time takes place, matter of second, split second. And then all of a sudden, you know, I don't know if it's Star Trek type thing or these science, you know, you look and, oh, your hands, they're glowing bright, and you're looking over there, Leanne, honey, your face, it's more beautiful than ever. Somehow it's going to happen. We're going to be changed, and we're going to look at one another, and we're going to be amazed, and we're going to say, it's finally happened. You know, we've been changed. Now we're like Jesus Christ. Here we come, Lord. You know, building it up a little bit, it's probably going to be a lot more exciting than that, an awful lot more exciting than that. I don't think there are words that I can come up with that make it as thrilling and exciting as it's going to be. And I describe this because this is why Marge Shiner died in peace with a smile on her face. We'll hear more about that later. Because she knew this and she believed it. And it's the truth. So brethren, let's use this time and this day and right after we have the closing prayer today, please stay seated, and we're going to have some sharing about Marge Shiner's life.